for the kilowatts. The bad news is that the utility companies are now going to a peak kilowatt billing, which means that once you set your peak, you have to pay for the peak for the next 12 months, whether you use it or not. And the reason for that is that they have to build the power lines, they have to build the power plant, they have to have the infrastructure to support the maximum you want to use. So you're paying for that infrastructure.
Is that just for businesses?
Ma'am?
Is that just for businesses?
Yes, right now it's just for businesses, and I doubt if it's going to change. What's going to happen for the homes is they're going to go to what's called a time-of-day billing when that's implemented. And your time-of-day peak generally is from about 3 in the afternoon till about 8 at night. And what happens is that you pay more per kilowatt hour then. Right now, if you paid everything for per kilowatt hour, it'd be 10 cents kilowatt hour under Empire. 15 years ago, it was two and a half cents. So things have changed. What's also happening, and this peak demand is extremely important. I'm going to spend a little more time on that because it's going to be very important. The investor-owned utilities, that's all I'm talking about, like Empire. In Iowa now, their charge for peak demand is right at about $17 a kW. Your charge for peak demand right now is about $7. In Iowa, and this is also in Arkansas, southern Arkansas, eastern Oklahoma, part of Kansas, and most of Illinois now, your consumption you pay 2 cents a kilowatt hour for. So you're paying $17 for your demand and 2 cents a kilowatt hour. And the reason why they're doing that is everybody knows how to go to Walmart and get an ISET back thermostat. So they put that in and they cut their kilowatt hours, but they cause the peak demand to go up. So you have to do demand limiting on a commercial building if you're going to keep their utility cost reasonable. We are the only company that does demand limiting on buildings for systems that are less than $1 million. What everybody else does instead of demand limiting is if you start to set a peak demand, they raise the interior temperatures in 3 degrees increments. So if you keep setting a peak, you go from, say, 74 degrees to 77 to 80 to 83, and that's how they limit the demand. Well, obviously, the building occupants don't tolerate that very long, and everybody just pays the demand bill. Here's how EPM does it, and we have it patented, and not copyrighted, patented. We go throughout your building, and that would then include the Justice Center. And we pick those areas that are the most comfortable and those areas that are the least comfortable. We we modify the cooling or the heating in an all-electric building in those areas that are most comfortable and watch the temperature and go ahead and give that energy to the areas that are least comfortable. And then every 5 minutes we evaluate it. And if this area starts to get too warm, it gets the energy. If this area starts to get is comfortable, it starts losing the energy. You can do that for about a 4 to 6 hour period without affecting what's called the dew point in the building. And the dew point in the building is what everybody really feels. They don't feel sensible temperature because your body evaporates moisture based on the dew point. Now, I'm not talking about sweating. I'm just talking about just your body lets moisture go, which cools you. So if you can maintain the dew point, you can get away with it, having a temperature increase of up to 3 degrees, and you won't even know it unless you look at the sensor and the thermostat. We patented that 17 years ago. It's worked well since then in every installation that's on a demand billing. Now, any questions so far? I've gone over a lot. Everything has to be paid for. So let's talk about dollars. Now, I'm not going to talk about dollars on the demand rate that's coming. I'm going to talk about dollars on what you have. because I can't guarantee when it's going to come and when it's not going to come, okay? So we're going to talk about the rate that you're on. This building, on the rate that it's on, would have about a 30% reduction in utility cost. Now, that would be from the programs that make the equipment more efficient. The total savings from that is going to be $15,000 plus $12,000, about $27,000 a year. And that's also going to be savings that you've experienced over there on not having the problems you had with the mechanical equipment before. What that amounts to is if you go down to the bottom side, is that you're going to have total savings, worst case 18, best case 31. It's going to be a payback of 2.67 to 6.2 years in the blue. On the basic system, everything, 2.4 to 5.9. It's going to be a 42% to 17% return on investment. And I think that's just about it. You're going to get a little bit more here because you don't occupy the building 24/7 like you do the one over there. And you don't have any choice on the jail section. The feds tell you what temperature you're going to have to keep. Otherwise, you don't keep prisoners. They go somewhere else.
On the 42%, did I understand you to say...
Okay, I'm a little hard of hearing.
I'm sorry. On the 42%, did I understand you to say that that was including the savings from over there also?
Yes. No, the 42% you're talking about, I misunderstood your question. The 32% savings?
Your best case scenario versus your worst case scenario, you're saying your best case is 42%. That's just for this building, correct?
42% return on investment.
Return on investment.
Yeah, that's just this building.
That's just this building.
That building is probably higher. Because you use a lot more energy over there. But your worst case is about 17%. What I tell everybody is we're going to do the engineering, and the engineer is going to have it. If you decide this is acceptable, the engineering will be done, and its numbers will be different because we'll know actually what equipment you've got. And what we say to you is that if the worst case, this is acceptable, do the engineering. We don't charge you for the engineering. We just don't want to waste your time or our time. Because it's going to take us probably about 40 engineering hours just to come up with a good estimate of the savings. And there are some other issues that I understand here. And let me see if I've got it correctly when I talk with Mr. Nicholson. You've already replaced some of the air conditioners since we last looked at this building. Is that correct?
Yep.
Did you place them based upon the current air conditioning needs of the space or on the needs you would have once you do your window replacement?
It was just as a need.
The needs you have now?
Yes.
Okay. How serious are you on the window replacement?
I don't know that we've discussed it, have we?
We haven't. I don't know, it's the commission.
Right.
Pretty serious. Money's available. When it's available, you'll do it.
What kind of savings can you give an idea of?
It's not a savings problem. It's a problem created by the new air conditioning that you put in. Your window replacements, on the percentage of windows that you have here, typically you'll get about a 3 to 4% reduction in utility cost. If you had more window area like you do in the courtroom over there, you'd have a bigger reduction. The problem you have when you do a window replacement, I'm a good electrical engineer, but I've been in this business a long time. I've made a lot of mistakes. I tend to learn from my mistakes, hopefully. When you do an air conditioning replacement in a building and you size the air conditioning for the size that you need right now with your current windows, you end up having too much tonnage of air conditioning when you do your window replacement. Now, it's not going to affect you that much, but here's the effect it will have. You do two things with air conditioning. Remember me talking about dew point is what you sense, really, not the temperature as much as the dew point? Air conditioning needs to run a certain period of time to remove the moisture from the interior air and from the outside air you're bringing in. And if it doesn't run long enough, it'll cool the air but not reduce the moisture. So what happens to you is that your dew point in the building goes up. And you can have a 72-degree temperature, but everybody thinks it's about 75, 76. Even worse than that, I've had buildings where they've replaced the air conditioning and the engineering company or the mechanical company wants to make sure it cools properly. So instead of putting a 5-ton unit up, you get a 7.5-ton. We're going to make sure you're cool. I don't want any hot complaints. You spent this money. It's only a little bit more to go 7.5 tons. Then you do a window replacement. Now you're really oversized. Then what happens is that on your ground floor, you start having mold on the outside wall, 3 or 4 inches above the floor and also underneath carpets. Because your dew point at times in the spring will get higher than the temperature of the wall. And when that happens, you condense moisture in the areas that you've got. We had where we normally find this problem was in branch banks that were built on slabs. So we came up, and we can help you here, we came up with a program that we did the temperature control based upon two things, dew point and or temperature. And we found that we could reduce the dew point with the software to the point that we could eliminate the problem as long as the air conditioning wasn't way oversized. And I'm kind of always the guinea pig for this. I had a wall in my basement. I have a finished basement. I had a wall in my basement that I had to go in about twice a summer, and I had to get the little Clorox and the water, 1-to-4 mixture, put the tarp down so I didn't get the Clorox on the carpet, and I'd have to scrub the wall. And it would last about 2 or 3 months, and I'd do it again, and everything would be fine. We came up with a program where we measured the temperature of the wall at the worst place, and we came up with software that would run the air conditioning in a manner that it would reduce the dew point and not reduce the temperature. So I ended up then with a night, I live by myself. My wife lives down in Rocky Mount. She retired. I would live in Fulton during the week and go down to Rocky Mount and get fed real well on weekends, okay? So anyway, I reduced the dew point that I could keep my house temperature at 85 to 90 degrees because I only lived in one room and I had a separate air conditioner for that. And I didn't have any mold in the basement. And my basement temperature was as high as my first floor temperature, the way the software ran. So even though you've done that, we can take care of that, but it's going to affect your savings slightly. It'll use about, hard to tell, depending on the tonnage and what you've got, we'd have to look at that in the engineering. But if you're really going to do the window replacement, you need to do that as quickly as you can before you add additional air conditioning. And you need to do it with an engineer that comes in and says, this is the kind of window you're going to put in, whether it's now or 3 years from now, this is what you're going to put in, and that's what I'm going to size this air conditioning for. And then the areas where it's already been done, we can compensate by the way we run the air conditioning to get the dew point down so we won't have that problem. So. And I know I'm trying to sell you something. I just told you to buy something else. But the point is, that's what's going to happen.
But you're saying that, so whenever they bring in tonnage for air conditioning, it's not based on square foot. It's based on usage. It's based on, I guess if an HVAC company comes in, they look at the windows and see what type of windows they are before.
Actually, what they normally do is, are you comfortable now? Yeah, okay, then we'll put that back in.